Oh, more than I thought. All right. It's an old, huh? Okay. The Statesman Quartet sang that years and years ago. That's a great song. Anyway, whatever Brother Clark says, we'll just ignore it. Long time ago. It's good to have Brother Pridey with us tonight. And again, just a faithful servant of the Lord. And again, Brother Pridey will be back with us in October for our missions conference, him and his wife. And looking forward to that. But tonight we're going to have him come speak to us. And I think he's going to, you do what you'd like to do, Brother Pridey. Come on.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a privilege for us to be with you here tonight. Let me get that big black wart out of my forehead. I am Leslie Pridey. I'd like to ask my wife to stand, please, Alba. And we count it a privilege to be your missionaries to the country of Honduras. And the last time we were here, I believe, was 2007. We skipped a furlough and have been in Honduras 8 years, just got back in the month of April. April the 19th, we came back here, and we're just getting started on our furlough. We don't even have our prayer cards yet. Can you believe it? If any of you are going to be missionaries, don't do that. You're supposed to have your prayer cards when you start. But the printer had a problem with one of their machines. But when we come in October, we'll have some prayer cards. We need your prayers very, very much. We've been missionaries for 31 years, and we depend on the prayers of our supporters. We depend on your prayers more than your support. But don't stop supporting us, please. Just pray more for us. Amen? It's a privilege for us to be here tonight. And I'm excited about the young. Well, I'm excited in one way, and the other way, I'm angry about the young people going to Honduras. How dare you go when I'm not going to be there? One of the parents, I don't know if he's here or if he had a heart attack and went home, scared him to death. There he is. He's still here. Scared him to death when I said I was not going to be in Honduras when you guys went down there. He thought I was my father. He thought that you guys were going to be there all by yourselves. But my dad and mom, I talked to them today, and they're very excited. They're anxious for you guys to get there, and I know that they have a lot of great things and activities and hard work planned for you while you're there. And don't worry, again, parents, don't be scared. Trust in the Lord. We've never had any problems. If you follow the directions, we pray that there will be no problems. Yes, there is some danger in Honduras. But there's more danger in Chicago than there is in the country of Honduras. And you'll be in the very middle of the country, 2 hours away from the most dangerous, one of the five most dangerous cities in the world. So as long as you don't, remember? As long as you don't buy drugs or sell drugs or go where they do, you should not have any troubles. 90%. Of course, there are no real statistics because the government doesn't want people to know. But I would say that 90% of the crimes, or maybe 95% of the crimes, are drug-related. So just remember those three things. Amen? You should not have any troubles. And we will. I know the people that are staying here will be praying for you. The people there in Honduras will be praying for you. And you just look forward to having the greatest time of your life if you've never been on a mission trip before. Amen? Do you have any questions? We'll take about 5 minutes, 4 minutes for questions before I start preaching.
Can you tell them what we're going to be doing there?
Okay, I asked my dad that. I knew somebody was going to ask me. And I called my dad today. I said, what are they going to do? You're going to be painting. You're going to be, I think, installing some lights and ceiling fans. You're going to be working on a building. I'm building a new building, or at least a roof while you're there for a new work. And you'll be in several of the churches, at least two of the churches, and you'll be probably participating in the services as well. So if any of you know how to preach, I would take some messages with you. I'm sure that my dad will have you preach, and if my mom and dad will be translating for you, so there will be no problem. If you want to sing specials, I tell the young people if they want to sing or play something on an instrument that they know how to play or give testimonies, that's, we always like to have people do that. Okay? Anybody else? Nobody else? Yes, sir. Shucks. Yeah, he shouldn't have done that. Well, I guess we'll have to. We will send them on a little trip after you deplane. You'll land in the city of San Pedro Sula, S-U-L-A. And I told the young people it's about a two-hour drive from there to where you'll be staying. I know where you'll be staying. We have had meetings there and been there many times. It's a nice hotel. Has hot water, so that's the most important thing. I always ask in Honduras, do you have hot water? Anybody else? Begin opening your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And while you are looking for Philippians chapter 4, anybody else have a question? If you do, yes, sir. You will, 25 of you are going, so I didn't ask, but I am going to assume that they're renting a bus or maybe two vans. A bus, okay, thank you. I don't know all the details because I'm here. But it won't be an air-conditioned bus, probably. But the temperature won't get over 90 degrees while you're there, and it won't get below 75. I hope it rains almost every day because we need the rain. All the reservoirs in Honduras are dry. People are getting water once a week or once every 2 weeks. Praise the Lord, you will stay in a hotel that has a well, so you won't have any water problems. If you have any more, are you wanting to raise your hand over there? No? Just kind of scratching your chin. Okay. Anybody else have any questions? We'll be here after the service, and we, of course, love to talk about Honduras. Stand with me, please, as we read in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and let's read, begin reading in verse 10 through verse 20. This is what I like to call the Apostle Paul's prayer letter to his supporting church. And he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We love to quote that verse, amen? That's a favorite verse. But it's in the context of a missionary being content with whatever the Lord chooses to provide for him. Verse 14, notwithstanding. You say, well, the missionary has learned to do all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded him, to abound, to be full, to be hungry, to suffer need, so we can cut his support. But Paul says, you're not off the hook yet. That's what notwithstanding means in the original Greek. Yeah. It means you're not off the hook yet. You can laugh about that. Ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. please underline or yellow that verse. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. I wonder sometimes if I stink to God or if I am a sweet smell to God, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God, another verse we like to quote, but it is in the context of a church that is supporting missions. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this dear church, for their pastor, their staff, their families. I thank you for their faithfulness to pray for us and to support us through many years. I ask that you would bless them, Father, as you have promised in your word. Now I ask that you would take your word and you would speak to our hearts, be an encouragement to us, a challenge, Father. I ask that you would speak through me, that you would use me for your honor and glory and for the edification of these, your people. For in Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you, and please be seated. Communicating with our afflictions. Two times in these verses, the Apostle Paul uses the word communicating. Now, we all know the Great Commission. The Bible says in the Old Testament to declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. And in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. But how can we obey the Great Commission? How can a missionary obey the Great Commission? How can you be in over 200 countries around the world except missionaries be sent out of your church? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? Unfortunately, God's work takes money. God uses money to fund his work. God does not use anything else. God touches people's hearts to fund the ministry of his church. Now notice, first of all, as I said a moment ago, the Apostle Paul talks about them communicating with their afflictions. The Apostle Paul in verse 10 is rejoicing that their care of him had flourished. What a word. What a neat word. Paul rejoiced at their flourishing, at their growing care of him. He did not rejoice because his needs or his wants were being supplied by their giving. Because in verses 10 and verse 13, we see that Paul had learned to be content in whatever state he was in. And he had learned that he could do all things through Christ, which strengthened him. So he did not rejoice because his wants were being supplied. Yet in his hour of need, time and time again, they shared in his afflictions. And verse 15, when he left Macedonia. And verse 16, regularly in Thessalonica. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9, if you want to look at that real quick. We see that they supported him while he was in Corinth. 2 Corinthians 11, 9, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable for to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia, the Philippians, supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so I will keep myself. So they helped Paul several times. Secondly, we see in verse 17 that the Apostle Paul did not selfishly go after their offerings. A lot of people do that today. My great-grandma, she's in heaven now waiting for us, went broke. She had a little bit of Alzheimer's, and she literally went broke giving to all the different TV evangelists. My grandma and her cousin had to go and take her checkbook away from her. Well, there wasn't any money left, so I don't know what good that did. But there are a lot of people that are selfishly going after, trying to get our money for their own profit. But the Bible says that these people's offerings was fruit to their account in every soul that was saved in the Apostle Paul's ministry. Look again at verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You see these flags around the back. There's only two of them that are beautiful. The rest of them, I know they have to be there, but that one and that one are beautiful flags. In every country that this church supports missionaries, every time you pray for a missionary, every time that your church sends the monthly offering to one of your missionaries, that is producing fruit that abounds to your account. God is a fantastic accountant. I hate accounting. I'm glad I'm not an accountant. I hate being the treasurer of anything. But God has a fantastic accounting system. And every time somebody is saved, every time somebody gets right with God, every time a family is saved or reunited, that is fruit to the account of every one of you that has prayed or given to the ministry of that missionary. It is not my ministry. It is your ministry. Amen? Yet the Apostle Paul's needs were met, it says in verse 18. The Bible says he was full and he even abounded because of their gifts. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that their missionary offerings was proof of the sincerity of their love. Now James talks about telling somebody, God bless you, and sending them away cold and hungry. Look with me, please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. The Bible says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. See, God loves a cheerful giver. In the next chapter, chapter 9, verses 7 and 8, there's some words I want you to underline. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, if Brother Crawford comes home, gets home at night, and throws over to Mrs. Crawford some roses and says, There's your roses. She's going to grab the other end of those roses and stick the thorns in his head because he didn't give them cheerfully, right? God loves a cheerful giver too. Let's continue reading. He says, and God is able to make, here's these special words, all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Why? Why does God love a cheerful giver? Because when we give cheerfully, we are showing what are the priorities in our lives. We are showing Him. When we give to God cheerfully, when we serve the Lord cheerfully, we are showing Him that He is most important in our lives. We all know the verse of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God blesses our giving. Note again the adverbs in 2 Corinthians 9:8. All, every, abound. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, that means the cup is full or the bag is full. Press down, you push it down hard to get all the air out. This is good when you're packing suitcases too. pressed down and shaken together, and then running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In Philippians chapter 4, we already read it, verse 19, we see God's promise to those who are faithfully giving to missions. What does he say? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. A lot of people quote this verse that have no right to quote it. God is giving this promise to those who are giving sacrificially to his work. When we give sacrificially, when we serve the Lord sacrificially, he promises to supply all our needs. Not according to the bank's riches, thank goodness. The banks, two times in the last 15 years, have failed their deposits. But God will never fail. Amen? Then fourthly, God blesses, as I just said, sacrificial giving. Not just what we have left over. Not just what we don't need. Look at me, please, in 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll read verses 8 through 16. The widow, about the widow who gave to Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. Forgive the pronunciation. This is about the fourth time I've preached in English in 8 years. But God, get thee to that other town which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went there, Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called unto her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring, I pray thee, a morsel of bread. In other words, a biscuit, some biscuits and gravy. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Elijah wasn't touched. He said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. The Lord was testing her. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. She was willing to obey, first of all. She was willing to give the last thing she had for the Lord's work. But God blesses sacrificial giving. What if she had said, no, I'm not going to give it all to you. I'll give you half. I don't think the Lord would have blessed her. The Lord blessed her because she obeyed and she gave all she had. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, we see another example of sacrificial giving. Turn with me there, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I love this passage of Scripture. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Hey, we want you to know about what God is doing in the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. God took that great trial of affliction and their deep poverty and used it to abound unto the riches of their liberality, their generosity. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. They were willing of themselves. They're willing to do more than they could do. They're willing to go where they didn't want to go. They are willing to give more than they could afford to give. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. They begged the preacher to accept the offering and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. It was more important for them that they learn to give themselves to the Lord. Why are so many people uncheerful givers? Because they haven't given themselves to the Lord. You see, if we will give ourselves, if we will dedicate and surrender ourselves to the Lord, it won't hurt to do what the Lord wants us to do. We will want to do what the Lord wants us to do when we have surrendered ourselves to the Lord. I challenge you today, and I know you have in the past, but continue to give your talents. Continue to give your time. Continue to give your treasures, your prayers. Give your love and your encouragement. When they became a living sacrifice, as Paul says in Romans 12:1, when they became a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, then they were cheerful givers. Again, I challenge you tonight to give yourself sacrificially. We cannot buy God off. I live in a country where money will just move mountains, literally. You can do anything with money in Honduras. You can buy off just about almost anyone in Honduras. But with our cheap offerings, with our uncheerful gifts, we cannot buy God off. We need to give ourself sacrificially, our time, our talents. Then we can learn the joy of giving. Communicate with missionaries' afflictions through your prayers. Again, the most important thing you can do for anybody is pray for them. A lot of times people will say, I wish I could do more. I wish I could give more. I wish I could go. The most important thing that you can do for us is to pray for us. We beg you, please pray for us specifically. Pray for your missionaries. Communicate with missionaries' afflictions through your prayers and giving so that you can have eternal fruit from around the world in every one of these countries. From around the world, fruit abounding to your account. This is the only way that we can obey the Great Commission. I have a song that I'm not going to sing. I'm going to read it. I know you've all heard it before. It's an old song. It says, I dreamed I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beyond, beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing. Then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man. And he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church? and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. One by one they came from Honduras, from Brazil, from Mexico. And there's some other countries. Guatemala, I think, is that flag over there. From all these different countries, as far as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "Child, look around you. Great is your reward. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What sweet words to hear from the Savior's lips. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you would again touch our hearts with your word. Help us, Father, to first give our own selves and serve you faithfully and sacrificially with our time, with our talents, with our treasures, praying, God, that we may have fruit that would abound to our account in countries around the world, that we might be obedient to the Great Commission. For in Christ's name we pray, amen. Pastor.
All right, let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation. And again, think about the book of Philippians. Philippians' theme is, again, selflessness, and that selflessness that produces joy. It is joy. It's selflessness as we serve others, as we do for others, as we follow in the steps of Christ. He strengthens us to do so. And if we'll take care of others and give and do for others, God will supply our needs. And a very good message tonight. As we sing hymn 155, have thine own way.